You're listening to Play It Again, Swig. I'm Jocelyn Swigger, and I'm trying to learn all the Chopin etudes. I'm also trying to balance hanging out with my toddler, teaching full-time, and life's other distractions. This is my audio diary of that process. Well, it's Tuesday, June 18th, and I've been on a little bit of a break. I presented at a conference, I guess, a week ago. I've kind of lost my sense of time. And that was a really nice moment of feeling like I do have something of value to say about and maybe even with these etudes. My presentation went well, and people, you know, laughed and seemed to get something out of it, and I got some really, really nice feedback. The best feedback I got, I had one person who studied with her at Indiana tell me that my hands looked like Evelyn Broncar's, my high school piano teacher's. And I had two people tell me that my hands looked like Rebecca Penny's, my graduate school piano teacher's. And those are both huge compliments. I think their hands actually look pretty different, but they both play these pieces beautifully and really well. So I take that to mean that my hands look like they are handling these pieces kind of well in the example. So I was really, really thrilled to hear that. Another thing that was kind of nice that happened at the conference was they had a headliner pianist, sort of the special guest artist. And a big part of his problem, of his concert, his program, is he played Opus 10 all in a row. And the thing that was cool about that, he certainly didn't make all the choices that I would make. He made some that I've never thought of that I still wouldn't make. But the thing that was really cool about hearing it is I didn't hear it and think, oh my gosh, I'll never be able to play through like that. I can't imagine being able to play that. I cannot play the way I can't play these pieces the way he can play them right now. But it wasn't completely unimaginable. And that might not sound like such a great, accomplishment to be able to imagine something. But now that I've gone through so many of these pieces and really had them go from just can't begin to imagine playing like to it being, well, yeah, I can sort of do it. Or, you know, or even. So not that I can play through the pieces at all yet, the way I want them and polish and all of that, but the beginning of these pieces is so much, it has involved so much just not being able to imagine doing it and then getting to the point where I actually can do it, that it was really nice to hear this performance and just kind of feel like, yeah, that's where I'm going to get to that. And it was fun to hear somebody make really different choices for me. So it was very fun to hear and not disheartening and demoralizing to hear the way you might have thought it could have been. So that was just a really nice experience, and I was really happy about that. And I have mostly been a slacker since then. I haven't really been getting better, I don't think, at these. I have to admit that I've mostly been playing through, basically playing through all of the ones without the music that I can, and really only looking at the music where I have to. So I really have only been looking at the music for 25/7, and a little bit 25/9, a little bit 25/10, and then a little bit 25/11, and then the three new ones. But I mostly have just been sort of playing through kind of as a warm-up. I feel like sort of like when you, if you're climbing up a mountain and you climb 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 and then you get to the ledge that's about, I don't know if it's halfway or a third of the way or three quarters of the way. I don't know where exactly the ledge is on the mountain, but you get to a ledge and you sort of are so exhausted that you just sort of stop at that ledge and sit down and have a drink of water for a little bit. And then of course, after a while you get bored on the ledge and you want to keep climbing. But right now I'm definitely still at the kind of nice to sit here and look around at the view place. So I'm sort of on the ledge nicely with these pieces. So I don't think I've particularly, like I said, gotten better over the last couple of weeks, and I need to change that and move into actually improving. But I did want to tell you that, because I don't think that this had happened yet for me the last time I recorded. Maybe I told you about this already, but you know, I've been thinking for a long time about how am I going to perform these pieces. And one of the thoughts that I had was, well, maybe I don't need to play, even if I play all of the etudes in concert, maybe I don't have to play Opus 10 completely as a group. And maybe I don't have to play Opus 25 completely as a group. Maybe I play, you know, a couple from Opus 10, and then I play something else, and then I play a couple more. And I have sort of had that idea in mind as that might be a really nice way to program them. But I have to say that I am starting to think of Opus 10 as a unit. If you listener out there, if you play, you know that when you start working on a piece, it often feels very, very, very long. And then there's this really nice moment when it kind of snaps and becomes smaller in your brain so that you can encompass the idea of the whole thing. And that's a really important sort of milestone, I guess, along the way of learning the piece. I feel like Opus 10 is collapsing and becoming one piece that my brain can encompass, so that as I'm playing, you know, number four, I sort of feel where that is in the set of 12, and that when I finish each one, I feel like I really want to hear the beginning of the next one. Like it's kind of cool. It's starting to come together. I should say Opus 25 has totally not done that yet. Not at all. 1 through 6 is starting to kind of coalesce. But boy, the end, 10 and 11 and 12 still feel really long. Partly because I don't have 10 and 11 memorized, really. And actually, I don't have the articulations of 9 memorized at all. One of the things, this is 12 of 25. That's a little sloppy, but that sort of makes my point. Playing that after playing these, which is 10 and 11. And by the way, 11, it's so long. It's 8 pages long, and it just feels like it lasts 1,000 years. But anyway, and then 11. After playing those, playing this, feels so hard. It feels so hard. It's kind of like, let me go back to my hiking analogy. If you walk a really long way and then your legs feel kind of rubbery, it's almost like my arms and my hands are kind of rubbery. And it's not in like a physical pain sort of way. It's just that suddenly it feels so floppy, and like I just kind of don't playing the right notes, I think, of that particular one is going to be quite a challenge. So I may break up Opus 25 if it doesn't cohere the way Opus 10 has. Anyway, that still is on the horizon. So the main thing that I've been big air quotation marks working on, because honestly, a lot of my practice in the last week or so has been play through the etudes and then don't practice anymore. So just kind of playing through without improving at all. But I have been working a little bit on improving my legato. And specifically, I've been working on doing that in the 3 new etudes. So I thought today I would play you simplified versions of the 3 new etudes. New because he wrote them after he wrote the Opus 10 and Opus 25. And they're actually sometimes called, I mean, they're called 3 new etudes. They don't have opus numbers of themselves. Opus numbers of their own, I guess is what I mean. Anyway, let me just play you simplified versions of these. These are starting to run through my head sometimes, which is really nice because they never did before. These are not pieces that I am aware of ever having heard, although obviously I've heard them, but they're not pieces I've heard people perform a bunch and have then kind of came into this project with preconceptions about. They're definitely new pieces to me. Let me show you what the main game is, and then I'll play a simplified version. So number one in F minor is, after the introduction, it's this business. So the left hand does this, and the right hand does this at the same time. Okay, so I'm actually not going to play that for you right now. Right now what I'm just going to play for you is just bass of the left hand and right hand working on the Legato. So listen to this cool introduction. Actually, you know what? I'll play you the first 8 bars as written, because it's just the right hand alone and then just the left hand alone, and then it comes in together. Because I just want you to hear how cool this introduction is. And if I tell you I'm just going to play the right hand, you might not realize that he does it all by itself, and it's this sort of naked, beautiful thing. So here's the first one. So I just think his harmonic invention is so beautiful. He has so many little twists and turns there where you don't think that he's going to go where he'll land where he does. So I have not made decisions about fingering for this yet. Right now I'm just playing with whatever finger comes handy. Ha ha ha. I did not mean that to be the horrible pun it just was. And I probably should play through it with a metronome at some point, because I'm sort of deliberately going all over the place with timing right now to think about, to really sort of make myself aware of where the endpoints are of the phrases. But it probably wouldn't be a bad idea to check it against reality and make sure that my timing wobbliness is all a result of decision and not just an accident that happens. And I should actually, I do need to do a little bit of practicing the left hand by itself. You know, this is actually kind of the same game in the left hand as the Revolutionary Etude, right? At the beginning. This. But this is kind of the same, except this is a little bit wider. Instead of, is what it would be. Yeah. And it feels just awkward enough that I think I need to work on it a little bit. Anyway, that's the first one. Here's the second one. I'll show you how it's written, and then I'll play you the simplified version. Again, with just whatever finger comes next. I haven't really thought it out yet. So the game is... So I'm not going to play any more than that. So you hear that there's all these cool inner voices. I haven't dealt with the inner voices at all. And actually, I was just sort of sight reading them, which is why they were a little stumbly. So let me just play you the top voice again. And you'll hear that once in a while, the top voice gets a little bit boring. And it's sometimes it's because the inner voice is actually the interesting part there. But I still think that this framework of just bass and top voice is useful and good to kind of get into my brain. So here is just the top voice and the bottom of number two. So there's actually one particular detail in the left hand that I haven't dealt with at all, which is that every once in a while he has quarter notes and even held quarter notes to make half notes instead of eighth notes. So these are eighth notes, but actually this is quarter, eighth held, eighth. And I think that he probably wants me to do some kind of wacky fingering here. I'm reading this from McCooley, so I'm going to check the other editions before I get too insane about it. But I do kind of want to figure out what he's getting at there. I suspect he's talking about pivoting. So if I keep five here and change it to three and then go down to five, I think that's what he's getting at. Anyway, I'll think about it. Here's another one. There's another one. Then these are all eighths. Oops. Anyway, I will think about that. And then here is the third one. Now here, this one, the game is that the right hand is playing both a legato line, meaning connected, right? And a staccato, meaning disconnected, short line at the same time. And the left hand is doing this sort of little waltz thing. Oops, not that waltz thing. So the right hand really is the one with the challenge. Let me play it so you can actually hear the notes. I totally cheated. I did play them, but the notes just didn't sound. Let me do it again. Okay, so here what the game is. Haven't worked on the game yet at all, and in fact haven't begun to think about fingering, because I just am not in the mood to make, I mean, obviously I'll have to get out of this because I will have to make decisions, but I sort of haven't had the mental bandwidth to think about fingerings and make decisions the last couple of weeks. So let me play you just the very top, so the legato line with the left hand, and again, the harmonies are just, they're cool. So here's from the beginning. Thank you. got a little dyslexic with ledger lines there. Sorry about that. This is as written. So isn't that kind of charming? I need to get better at just the simplified version. I've only been doing this for a couple of days. So I don't have it. I don't have a really clear musical idea about it yet. I think you can hear that. But these three little etudes, I am really enjoying them. And I'm really glad about that, because when I started this project and read through them, all of the main 24, even the ones that are so scary, felt exciting. Like, oh, I've heard this a bunch of times and I know this is a piece of music I'm really excited to play. And these just sort of felt like, what is this, you know, what is this thing? But I think it's actually going to be really nice. Oh, by the way, the tempo is allegretto, which is not very helpful. So I probably will learn them kind of fast and then slow them down a little bit if I feel like it. So that's what I'm working on with these three. I probably am going to stick with more or less simplified versions of them for a little bit. My next big things I need to do is I really need to memorize the rest of Opus 25. So the next two pieces I'm going to memorize, because it's ridiculous I don't have them, are 10 number 7, the cello etude, you know. Just don't have it that memorized, especially on the second page. The second page is really the only page that's particularly challenging of that, although I think there might be one run later on in the piece. But I just don't have it memorized, so I need to memorize it. And then 10 number 9. I don't have that memorized either. And actually, the thing that I need to learn in it, and this is one of those things that seems like it's not that hard, so I haven't kind of bothered to do it because it always feels like it's not the most important thing. But sometimes it goes thumb to the chord, and then the octaves, thumb, chord, octaves, thumb, chord, octaves, thumb, chord, thumb, 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 right? Chord, thumb, thumb, chord, chord, thumb, thumb, chord, chord, thumb, thumb, chord. Do you hear how sometimes it's going down, up, sorry, down, and then up, down. I totally don't remember when it is. So in my head, it's sort of all up. Which sounds convincing enough that if I play it without the music, it sounds fine. But it's totally not what it is. What he actually wrote was, so first it goes up, 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 up. Down, up, down, up, down, up, 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 and then up, 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 up. But the point is, I actually, at this point, have no idea when it goes up and when it goes down. So I have to just figure that out. And maybe I might actually Xerox this and then take like a big crayon and just do big up and down arrows. Or maybe I'll go through saying up and down like I just did, but I need to learn that because it's silly that I don't have it. I also have no idea when it's octaves and not, although now that I look at it, it's octaves when it returns and it's big, so that's not so hard. But, you know, they should be accurate and musical. Anyway, I need to give this one a little love, and I basically have just not at all. I haven't been paying any attention to it. So number 9 and number 10 and number 7. So 25-9, 25-7, those are the two main ones. And, you know, I just got to practice a Winter Wind Etude. It just feels so long and so huge and so scary, and I gotta get over that. So those are gonna be my main ones. 7, 9, and 11. And I will play you some version of those in a couple of weeks. So that's it. You can find out more about this project at playitagainstwick.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Jocelyn Swicker. I would love it if you like my Play It Again Swick Facebook page. I would really appreciate that. And thank you so much for being my practice buddy. Dad, 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 dad.